This is a sermon by Elder S.N. Haskell that was given at the General Conference on Monday, February 20th, 1893. The name of the sermon is The Missionary Work, Number 5. Spending a few minutes at the beginning of his address in replying to some questions that had been asked, Elder Haskell passed on to the consideration of his subject, reading Revelation 14, verse 6, and Revelation 18, verse 1, as showing that the everlasting gospel, the third angel's message, is to go to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, and the whole earth is to be lightened with its glory. In Mark chapter 13, verses 26 and 27, the Savior says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven." The force of this expression, which refers to the gathering of the elect at the coming of Christ, is that it is nearly the same as the Savior used in sending out his disciples when he said that they would be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is further explained in Colossians 1, verse 23. Which was read yesterday, and which states that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven in the days of the apostles. And do you suppose when the gospel winds up that it will go with any less power than when it began? No. It will go with 10 times the power, and people will be converted all over the world, just as I understand some have been here in Battle Creek today. I understand that individuals who never heard a sermon on the Sabbath here in Battle Creek have been troubled so that they could not sleep and have been impressed with the truth and converted to God and taken hold of the Sabbath. If we do not look out, we will find God will pour out his Spirit in Battle Creek and we will not know it ourselves. It may seem strange, but unless you have Christ as a personal Savior, you will never know it. Unless we have Him, these things will take place and the truth will triumph, and you will never know it. Why? Because you will be looking for this thing and that thing and will not see it. This is true, brethren. I do not doubt many will wake up and find it is true when it is too late. The first step to the outpouring of the Spirit of God is to have Christ as our own personal Savior. And then we will get the unction from heaven that will enlighten our eyes to discern the works and ways of God. It is not any great thing we can do that converts the soul. We simply do our duty, that is all, and God converts the soul. I will read one or two expressions from the prophet. Jeremiah 16, verse 16. "Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks." Does this mean what it says? This text came forcibly to my mind when I was in India and visited some of those cave temples. I suppose the prophet saw workers going to all of these places carrying the truth. Brethren, we have not believed the Bible yet. We worship a God who is God and the only God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has given us a truth that is going to find its way to every soul on earth before probation ends. Another text, Isaiah 42, verses 10 and 11. "Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Close quote. The gospel workers then will go hunting for souls in all the villages and the mountains and valleys. Oh, brethren, when I think of it in this light, it seems as though if I had 1,000 lives, I would want to give them to hunting up souls in some of these darkened portions of the earth. How some of the brethren can sit down and be content to work away on the old soil year after year, I cannot understand. We want hearts like our Savior's. He went to hunt for souls. I do not know but what there will be a fewer gathered out in America in proportion than in other portions of the world because we have had greater light here. I will read the following from a communication from Sister White from Australia, April last. Quote, oh, what a vast number of people have never been warned, and until there is a company of workers instructed to labor not in a fitful manner, but after Christ's order, who will not fail or be discouraged, but little can be done. But very little has been done in educating and training of workers for the reason there are not the kind of educators in this missionary field. Is it all right that such a superabundance of opportunities and privileges should be provided for the work in America while there is such a destitution of the right kind of workers here in this field? Where are God's missionaries? Where are the men who will go without the camp and bear the reproach which Jesus has borne for them? There is home missionary work that is to be done. And we hear the plea, so long as there's so much sin and such need of labor in our own country, why manifest such zeal for foreign countries? I answer, our field is the world. Wickedness abounds to an alarming extent everywhere. The Savior directed the disciples to begin their work in Jerusalem and then pass on through Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Only a small proportion of the people accepted the doctrines, but the messengers bore the message rapidly from place to place, passing from country to country, lifting the standard of the gospel in all the near and far off places of the earth. But there was a preparatory work. The Savior's promise was, but ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Those who will not follow their own wills and desires, but seek counsel of the Lord, will not be dull scholars, for the Lord will teach them. Although thousands at home neglect this great salvation and prove themselves unworthy of eternal life, let zealous efforts be put forth for those who are in midnight darkness. God will speak to the unenlightened. The light is to shine amid the moral darkness. I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. While there are so many to be sought for, so many that are in gross darkness, shall we not cry aloud and spare not? How much more is needed? How much wise, well-planned efforts to send the truth by publications and the living preacher? Close quote. I will also read some words from an address by Sister White at the opening of the Australian school, which I copied from a supplement to the Bible Echo. Quote, the missionary work in Australia and New Zealand is yet in its infancy, but the same work must be accomplished in Australia, New Zealand, in Africa, India, China, and the islands of the sea, as it has been accomplished in the home field. Close quote. It should be noticed that the truth has gone to every colony in Australia and more or less throughout New Zealand until we have in Australia a conference of about 700. But it is to go not only in Australia and New Zealand, but to the teeming millions in Africa and to the over 120 languages and dialects in India, and to the vast extent of heathen China, as well as to the islands of the sea, as much has been accomplished in the United States of America, where every state and territory in the Union have more or less of those keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This shows the very extensive work that is before us and what is to be accomplished by the third angel's message. She further states, quote, "Under an appropriate symbol of an angel flying in the midst of heaven is represented the work of the people of God. In this work, heavenly intelligences cooperate with human agencies in extending the last message to the inhabitants of the world. But the plans and work of men are not keeping pace with the providence of God. For while some in these countries who claim to believe the truth declare by their attitude, 'We want not thy way, O Lord, but our own way,' there are many that are pleading with God that they may understand what is truth. In secret places, they are weeping and praying that they may see light in the scriptures, and the Lord of heaven has commissioned his angels to cooperate with human agencies in carrying forward his vast design that all who desire life may behold the glory of God. We are to follow where God's providence opens the way. And as we advance, we shall find that heaven has moved before us, enlarging the field for labor far beyond the proportion of our means and ability to supply. The great want of the field open before us should appeal to all to whom God has entrusted means or ability, that they may devote themselves and their all to God. We are to be as faithful stewards, not only of our means, but of the grace given unto us, that we may be brought under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. The purpose and ends to be attained by consecrated missionaries are very comprehensive. The field for missionary operation is not limited by caste or nationality. The field is the world, and the light of truth is to go to all the dark places of the earth in a much shorter time than many think possible." Close quote. This is what the Spirit of God wants, and this is in harmony with the Bible. Another fact, the disciples were to tarry at Jerusalem and there begin their work, and then they were to extend it through Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, where has the truth of this message been established in the world? Take Jerusalem to represent Protestant countries where our work would naturally begin, and let us see how far the truth has gone. Here, Elder Haskell spent some time in map study showing from a large map of the world that our work was established in every Protestant country throughout the world. That is, in these we have stations and organized work going forward. Besides these countries, has been stated in various reports during the Institute, societies, companies, and individuals are springing up in many other portions of the world. Thus far, the work is gone. But here are now these other countries to which our efforts must be extended. Let me speak in behalf of China, a country that has not been represented here as yet. How many missionaries have we in China? We have one old man, about 80 years old, Brother LaRue. With him is another man who is helping him, who was converted on the ship on which Brother LaRue went to China. They are at Hong Kong, working mostly in the ship missionary work. Have we anybody else? Yes. Someone over there have embraced the truth. The providence of God has gone before us in as marked a manner as in India, and much more than in Australia when we went there. We talk about the Chinese in this country. Why do you suppose God brought the Chinese to this country? It was that we might give them the truth. My soul was stirred at the few words which we heard yesterday about the work in Chicago. God is doing something for the Chinese in Chicago and in El Paso, Texas, in Ogden, Utah, and in Fresno, California. As yet, no active steps have been taken in Oakland and San Francisco, but we expect something will be done immediately for the Chinese and Japanese there. There is a spirit throughout the country among certain Bible workers to work among the Chinese, and they are having marked success. This is not in one place simply, but in different places. I might read letters showing the interest that has been awakened among these people in our country, but I will only mention one place where our workers were teaching in a Chinese school and where others tried to turn our brethren out entirely and to prohibit their teaching and voted them out and told them to leave. But the Chinamen themselves took up the case and voted the other people out and voted our people in. They objected to going to the other teachers at all and took our teachers, and then these Chinamen, who are so conservative about their money, had money enough to buy an organ and started a school. They said, "These Bible teachers teach us the Bible." I tell you, God is opening the door on behalf of the Chinese. There is a wider door to go to the Chinese if we take God's providence to indicate it than to go to India, and yet I believe in India with all my heart. But I want to speak of the field that has been unrepresented here. Read Isaiah 49, verse 12. "Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim." The name for China in Arabic is Sinim. When the Lord is talking about the countries from which people would be gathered at his coming, why is China mentioned so particularly? Is it not because this United States, which has been so wonderfully blessed with the truth, looks upon the Chinese as it does and expels them? This very act of expelling them from our shores, if we have taken advantage of it, will be found to create a bond of union between us and a portion of the Chinese that you little think of. Over 1 million Sabbatarian Chinese were once put to death in China by a professed Christian government in the British Opium Wars and suppression of the Taiping Rebellion. You probably saw the series of articles which appeared in the signs about the Taipings. I heard from different parts of the country from individuals who reported what the Chinese said about it. I got one letter from Brother LaRue saying there was a Brother Mok Man Chung in Hong Kong, a government translator. I called him brother because he is a brother in every sense of the word. He has turned from idolatry and embraced the truth and wants to be baptized. He read the articles. He was an idol worshiper and not favorable to the Christian religion at all. He became much interested in the articles and told Brother LaRue that that was true and said that there were any number of those people right there. They do not make it known that they are Taipings. If they did, they might lose their heads. How did he know? I suppose he was one of them. One of our Bible workers in Chicago has been teaching a Chinaman who is a cousin to this one in China, and we have had letters and correspondence that they have held with one another. Putting them together, I came to the conclusion that both of them were Taipings. This brother in China said that the son of the leader in that Taiping rebellion lives in Shanghai. I will read a portion of a letter from Brother LaRue. the brother Reed spoken of, who has embraced the truth at Hong Kong, is half Japanese, and he wants to be baptized and go back to Japan to teach the gospel there. Quote, Brother Reed and Brother Mokman went to be baptized just as soon as there's a chance by our people. Sister Twig at Shanghai, I suppose, was never immersed, but I do not know for certain. She's an excellent woman and calculated to do a great deal of good there. Shanghai would be an excellent place for one of our preachers. There is one church there with over 100 members. They have no hired preacher, but invite any of the other denominations to preach for them, provided they would do it gratis. It is certainly an excellent place for doing good work, and how much some of our people are needed in Japan. Close quote. Here's also a letter which Brother LaRue wrote regarding this Chinese brother. Quote, When I first got acquainted with Mokman Chung, he could not bear to hear anything about God that made the heavens and the earth or the Bible, and I could hardly get him to look at our books. But now, thank the Lord, a very great change is coming over him. The Spirit of the Lord is striving with him. He is buying some books now. He takes dinner with us quite often, and whenever he spends the evening, stays till we have prayers. I wish you could have heard him pray at first. It would have made you smile. Notwithstanding, he is so smart and sharp in temporal things. He is just like a little baby in spiritual things. He has it all to learn. He told me a short time ago that he was going to destruction about as fast as he could go, and he was sorry that he had missed getting acquainted with us so long. For a Chinaman, there are some excellent qualities about him, and if all goes well, he will be one of the inhabitants of the new earth. If he comes out fully in all the truth, I don't know of a Chinaman in the whole kingdom that God could use to do a greater work with his countrymen than this one, all things considered. He has only one wife and a child about a year old. All his friends are the worst kind of idolaters and have already commenced to make it hard for him as he is giving it up altogether. He has had enough of such fumery. I had read him your letter you wrote concerning him about translating some. He told me to tell you yes, he will do anything for us and feels it is a privilege. Close quote. I wrote this Chinese brother a letter, and this is the reply I received. Quote, Supreme Court, Hong Kong, October 30, 1892. Mr. Haskell, my dear friend, I beg to offer you my sincere thanks for your kind letter, which reached me through Mr. LaRue, which talked to me of the first and most important principles of the religious life. The letter, I must admit, has set me pondering on the early parts of my life and contemplating the future which is before me. Although I have the misfortune of belonging to a heathen family, I feel I love virtue and appreciate the Christian doctrines which God in his infinite wisdom and love devised for the sinner. I venture to hope that there is no consideration on earth which would lead me away from the gospel in which alone the humankind expect to find peace and happiness. I know there are no such blessings out of Christ. They are only to be found by accepting him as our friend and our Savior and relying implicitly on his merits and clemency. Yes, there is only one God, who is the Lord of all lords, and he is the preserver and protector of man's life. He has drawn out the plan of salvation out of affection for his creatures, with the sole object to relieve them from damnation. But he gives us the option to accept his word as his faithful and obedient children, or to reject it and place ourselves in the hands of Satan, who is his bitterest enemy and has, since the creation, done all his limited power to make man his victim. I earnestly and fervently hope that God will increase my knowledge, teach me to distinguish the false teachings which the world is full of, and give me health and power to work for His great cause and follow in the footsteps of our Savior. Referring to the promise I have made to my friend LaRue to assist in translating the tracks, I beg leave to assure you that I am always ready and happy to do any work of the kind, as I know many of my countrymen in America need very sorely the teachings of the Bible in their own language, and the translations of such teachings will, beyond all manner of doubt, is a blessing to them in being a valuable guide to seeing the Savior's peace and love. I am yours very truly, Mukman Chung. Close quote. Do you not think God is opening the way for the work in China? This is the end of Brother Haskell's sermon.